someone cuts you off in traffic, don't get angry, just let them. Your child wants to wear their favorite stained t-shirt to a family gathering. Just let them. You're not invited to a party. Don't stew. Just let them. You're not getting the attention you want in a relationship. Just let them? Really? If you're thinking, no, why would I just let them in these situations? Keep listening, because today, let's talk about accepting what you can't control. Have you ever had a moment when you decided to stop controlling a situation or a relationship? Was there a time when you realized you were obsessing over something you could not control? How did you let it go? And what was the result when you did that? Did you find peace and ease? Because sometimes we get ahead of ourselves thinking about what if, or we get stuck thinking that plans have got to go a certain way or else. And it can really do your head in. Chat with me, Beverly Wang, on Life Matters on Radio National alongside Dr. Jacqueline Balsh, a clinical psychologist and director of Inner Melbourne Clinical Psychology. Welcome to Life Matters, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
Now let's talk about the Let Them Theory, because Mel Robbins is a hit podcaster, a best-selling author, a high-profile motivational speaker. Her book, a bestseller, is called The Let Them Theory, a life-changing tool that millions of people can't stop talking about. You've read it. I wonder if you could kick off by just explaining the premise of this theory.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you've captured it really well in your intro. This theory is about stepping back and noticing those moments when we're potentially swooping in to try and control a situation or a person, and instead sitting back and asking ourselves, would this be a time where I could just let them be who they are, let this situation be what it is, rather than using my energy to try and control the other person.
When you say swooping, and I think so much of the culture around us teaches us, particularly women, I think, that it is our job to swoop in, to do the labor. And so do you think that's why this has caught on quite a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think every now and then someone packages something up in a way that's really palatable. And I do think, yeah, there's something about this point in time. And I agree with your comment around it being particularly compelling potentially to women as a way to slow down and pause and notice patterns that we might get into around people pleasing or over-functioning or overcompensating or rescuing others or wanting to appear a particular way, because all of that's an illusion. We can't actually control anybody else, despite what we might think.
And am I being too pedantic when I question whether it is genuinely a theory? Because a theory is a system of ideas, and I note that just let them is, yes, there is a book, but it's mostly a social media catchphrase.
I would agree with that, particularly as a clinical psychologist. You know, I don't really, I couldn't say that there's, I should say I'm not aware of the science that's behind it in terms of what Mel Robbins has done to check this, whether she's done any studies. She does talk about the thousands of people that use the let them theory, but she doesn't really elaborate on what she means by that. So
yeah, look, I think it's really important to note that on Life Matters this morning with you, Jacqueline, we're not doing an endorsement of just let them, but we are noticing obviously that this has become very popular on social media, and we want to take a closer look with you, a qualified clinical psychologist, and, you know, kind of test the theory a little bit, the theory, I'm using the word, and also see where it works, but see where there are limitations, and hopefully help our Life Matters listeners figure out ways to use it in a way that's useful if they are, and also places where, you know, maybe you should not just let them, because I think that's a very important part of the conversation. Now, before we get to the calls, they're already coming in on this, which is great to see, and keep them coming. I just wonder, Jacqueline, you kind of said you're not aware of kind of the background, but are there therapeutic modalities that just let them perhaps inadvertently draws from?
Yes, there are. And that's part of what drew me to the theory, as well as the fact that everyone seemed to be talking about it. So let them theory clearly draws on acceptance and commitment therapy, a little bit of CBT, a little bit of mindfulness.
What does CBT stand for?
Oh, sorry, cognitive behavioral therapy, and also mindfulness. And you could even say that it draws a little bit on some other approaches like family systems therapy and potentially even psychodynamic therapy. So, I mean, it's hard to come up with a new theory and a new idea, I think. It's really a combination of all of those things.
Well, I guess that's why pop psychology is so popular, particularly on social media, because it is kind of... It's connecting, it's resonating because it is obviously something that, you know, people connect to, the swooping in, all of that thing. That's in the vibe, it's in the zeitgeist.
Definitely.
But we need to talk about it with a little bit more, I guess, evidence base to it. Now, I wonder about, you know, talking about obsessive thinking. I suppose this is what Just Let Them is trying to counteract, right? Can you talk a little bit about why we get stuck into that and why we feel like we need to take care of things or worry about the outcome so much?
In relation to obsessive thinking, I think obsessive thinking is really about trying to think our way into safety. It's trying, our fight flight system gets set off in our brain and we start to really try and pin something down and get to the bottom of it and think our way into a place where we feel calm again. The problem is obsessive thinking has the opposite effect, and it actually gets in the way of doing things that would genuinely help you in the situation. And it you know, obsessive thinking is certainly, I think, a catalyst for then trying to control others as well. So, it's a natural part of being a human, getting fixated on things and obsessing over things, but being able to have a simple catchphrase like "let them" can help us sometimes to step back from that.
Okay. Now, before we do go to our callers, I think it's really important to talk about, you know, I've mentioned Mel Robbins is not a trained psychologist. She's a motivational speaker, an author, a podcast host, not necessarily a subject area expert. And, you know, the popularity of Just Let Them has also made her a lot of money. Should we be cautious about picking up something from a self-help book and running with it, applying it to our lives? Where do you think we need to see sort of have some caution flags up?
I personally think if something resonates, be interested, be curious and explore it, but also be discerning. And I think that with any theory. So the theories that I referred to before, acceptance and commitment therapy, CBT, mindfulness, they're evidence-based theories, but that doesn't mean that they work for everyone or resonate for everyone. So even if the theory is well validated by scientific research, it doesn't mean that it's going to apply to you in your situation. So yeah, a little bit of discernment I think is helpful.
Yeah. And Mel Robbins also says that there are moments clearly where it's not okay to just let them. Should we go through those right now?
Yeah, I think the obvious one is whenever something comes up around safety, your safety or the safety of others, or really clear boundary pushing, just letting someone
unreasonable behavior,
exactly.
Discrimination when someone's actions can cause harm or threat to you or others. Obviously, we're not saying, just let them.
No. And that is, I guess, the potential downside of a theory like this. It's because it's a quick catchphrase, it can simplify
it. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Excuse me. We do have our first caller, Megan in Victoria, Ocean Grove. Welcome to Life Matters. Has there been a moment where you realized it was better to let go of something that beyond your control?
Oh, look, I have lots of situations. You know, you talked about sort of obsessive thoughts and thinking, and I have lots of situations where the let them theory has worked. Mm-hmm. However, I think from my perspective, and I do follow Mel Robbins on social media, I love a lot of the things that she talks about. However, I think it depends on how much it matters to you, how much you care about that situation. And I think for some people, especially if they have, something where they've experienced significant trauma and they're wired a certain way, it can leave someone feeling like they're failing if they are unable to just let them. So particularly in family circumstances where there might be a situation, just letting a situation go can lead to sort of there's no resolution, and it does leave you, can leave you in pain. Yeah. So I think that resolving things is often a better way to working through a situation is often a better way. That's how I've experienced it anyway.
I would 100% agree with that, Megan. I think this theory has limits and you've described one of them perfectly. I think one of the things that Mel talks about in her book and that I would talk about as a psychologist, regardless of her book, is in those moments where just letting things go isn't the solution, there are a whole bunch of other things that can potentially be brought forward as ways to work through that. But I think when we're talking about complex trauma, as you've mentioned there, or trauma or our history and how we've grown up, it's not as simple as that. And it can sometimes be a time when you might need to have the support of a professional to work through that rather than just a self-help book, because, you know, it's just a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Megan, for calling in and sharing your thoughts on not just how it helps to let go of situations, but also your very thoughtful response to the just let them theory. In a way, Jacqueline, we're talking about radical acceptance. I see texts about that. I've got some questions about that as well. Understanding that sometimes you cannot be in control of lots of everyday situations and how it actually might be quite freeing to step back and let them be quite a barrier, can't it? I think to realize that things don't have to go your way, especially if you are trained to think you are the planner, you are the person. I think I listened to the podcast episode that Mel Robbins did about this, and she talks about how she got really worked up because her teenager wanted to go to some fast food place for a pre-prom event instead of like a nice fancy place. And at some point, her daughter, just older daughter, just turned to them and said, just let them go to that place. And that's why it was that kind of light bulb moment for her. But Jacqueline, I think that what the last caller highlighted was really interesting, because if you are just kind of trying to use just let them as a wrench to let go, it can also, you don't want it to be something that you don't talk about. So for example, when I was talking about just let them and I cited the example, you're not getting the attention that you want in a relationship, you just let them. Really? Because could just let them, if used too strongly, could that actually deter you from what I think psychologists want us to do, which is to actually recognize what's going on, talk about it, work toward a resolution? Because just let them could just mean, I'm out, I'm disengaging.
Yeah, I think it's actually the way in which this could be used perhaps more effectively than just stepping back and disengaging is to say, I'm going to watch what happens here when I don't over-engineer things. I'm going to watch what happens when I let the person just be who they are. And dating is a great example, because when you're first getting to know someone, it's tempting to try and, you know, we want people to be who we want them to be rather than who they actually are. Or we might sort of look at their potential rather than what's actually being shown to us. So let them can be a way of stepping back and observing that. And then you do have to do something with that. And so it doesn't mean you let them forevermore. It may be letting them, and then saying, okay, you know, this situation is not for me, this person's not for me. Or it might be setting some boundaries and seeing if that shifts things. So it's not a passive approach. It's an approach of slowing down, my understanding at least, and then using the information that you observe to then inform the next steps that you take, which might include continuing to let them, but perhaps wouldn't in dating. Perhaps, hopefully.
Yeah. That's a really, really good point to make. Thank you so much for clarifying that. We're going to take another call. Jennifer is in Canberra, Ngunnawal country, and I understand that you have listened to this Just Let Them book and you were skeptical at first.
Yeah, hi. I was skeptical. I had listened to Mel Robbins' podcast on menopause where she had used experts, but my understanding from reading about the book online was that there was no scientific research behind it. But when I was listening to it, as Dr. Jackie said, it really resonated with the acceptance commitment therapy that I've undertaken with a professional over the years. And I had a friendship where I set a boundary about behaviours that I felt were acceptable. That person reacted negatively to that boundary and I just thought, let them.
Yeah.
And it felt like a weight was lifted off me, literally. Like I just went, wow, I don't have to worry anymore. Let them be angry. Let them talk to people in a rude way, but not me. So I really resonate with it.
And how did that affect the friendship, Jennifer?
Well, I set a boundary of how I'd like to be communicated with, and that person didn't take that well, so I haven't spoken to them since. But I don't feel bad about that. I actually feel good because I feel like I've been released from an unhealthy and unhelpful relationship because they weren't respecting my boundaries. So I'm just saying, let them. Hopefully that they will see what I did was trying to respect myself and not control them, but let them do what they want to do, and I don't let it affect me. And as I said, it dovetails very well with acceptance commitment therapy. Just accepting the situation and let them go on with their way.
I think that's such a great example, Jennifer. And I think what you've highlighted there is two key things, the way in which the theory can potentially be used to for your own self-esteem and your own self-respect, and also the grief and loss that can sometimes come. I know you haven't touched on that specifically, but some of the consequences that can come from letting people just be who they are, it can mean that friendships fade or end, or that family relationships become different, or that you leave a workplace or stop dating someone. So there are potential, big changes and grief and loss that can come with that as well. And I don't think Mel really speaks about that in her book.
Yeah. This is why we turn to actual qualified psychologists to help us understand this. And thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing your experience. It's a great call. If you want to join the conversation and talk about maybe your experience of just let them, and obviously we're open to the critique. We've also already critiqued and talked about how this is not an endorsement of just let them. We're talking about it with a qualified professional to understand how it can be applicable in a general sense, but also where there are limits. So, for example, if you are, going to experience harm, obviously we don't just let them. It's not about being passive. It's not about resigning yourself to a bad situation at all. Dr. Jacqueline Balsh is my guest. And we have Deb in New South Wales. Welcome to Life Matters, Deb. Tell me about a moment where you let go.
Hi, thank you. I'm in AA, and a big part of AA is learning about keeping my side of the street clean and not going over to the other side of the street telling everybody else how to keep their side of the street clean. And so that whole thing about taking personal inventory and how am I behaving in this situation, and instead of being hyper-focused on how the other person is behaving in the situation, which used to drive me mad, I focus more on myself and how do I want to behave in this situation. So, I try to just accept the person who's standing in front of me saying, doing, thinking, acting the way they are. And I try to keep in touch with myself in the process and, how am I responding to this person? How do I want to respond to this person? What do I need? What does it look like they might need? That kind of thing.
And how has that helped you? You said you're an AA. How does that, if you could connect that back to, I suppose, the sobriety journey, what does keeping your side of the street help you do?
Look like?
Yeah.
It decreases a massive amount of intolerance, impatience, anger, frustration, annoyance, and also it just stops me from speaking in a harsh, critical way, because I used to be very kind of verbally confrontational and I used to disagree with just about everybody when I was a daily drinker. I was always the person that saw the other side of the coin, I was argumentative basically, but I'm not that now.
Deb, thank you so much. Really appreciate you calling in and sharing your insights. I'm sure everyone listening has really, really appreciates what you have to say as well.
And I love what you've highlighted, Deb, there about responsibility. One of the hard things about this theory is that once you let them, you then have to take responsibility for your side of the street, as you said. And that can be why we sometimes we don't want to take responsibility for ourselves. It's hard work, and that can be where obsessive thinking can also come in, because if I just obsess on the other, if I just look at them and what they're doing wrong and all the ways that they, are not meeting my needs, then I don't have to focus on myself. So obsessive thinking can also be a form of avoidance.
Right. Really interesting point. Thank you for that. We're going to go to Jaunty in Lismore. Welcome to Life Matters. What do you want to say about everything we're talking about today.
Yeah, so one thing was I've seen a few friends recommending this, and I'm aware of Mel, and I've listened to some of her podcasts before, and I'm only a little way through the book, but what I can see is that she says, well, okay, so we can let them do that, but then we can't stop there. We have to say, let me, and that's where we take power back into the situation, and we make the choices about what we will do in response to these situations. And essentially what I see her theory as is matching the idea of circle of control about what things we have control over and what things we don't have control over. We can't control the weather. We can't control what other people say, do or think, but we can control our responses. We can, you know, we can control our actions. We can control our emotions, for example. So that's what I read her theory as, is sitting in with that particular work. And I see just great ways to apply that just even in everyday mundane life. Like my son is just started high school and I need to let him get himself ready more and more as he gets older. And I need to learn how to step back from that. Have you done this? Have you done that?
Very familiar. Jacqueline, what did you want to say about what Jaunty shared?
I think what you've shared is great, Jaunty. The only thing I would say is that we can't control the emotional response we have when we let people do what they're doing. So that would be the only thing. I think it's really it's not possible for us to stop ourselves from feeling hurt by others, disappointed, let down, even, you know, re-traumatized by others. But I think everything else that you've said there is, it just, yeah, really applies and very much resonates. And I love the example with your son as well. It's such a great real life example.
Yeah. Yeah. Rushing to get a kid, you know, early, ready for school. And it's like, well, maybe you need to let them learn what it's like to be late.
Yes. Yes.
There is a text which kind of speaks to some of the points that Jaunty has brought up. And the question is, how does let them theory differ from stoicism, which is another very popular approach these days? Or is it quite similar?
I'm not an expert on stoicism, but I would say it goes one step further because it's not just let them. It's as Jaunty, the previous caller, said, there's then let me, what do I do then? And I my understanding is that you wouldn't necessarily get as involved in that second part. But I must say there's a caveat there.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And there's plenty of reading on stoicism that I think it was about the what you are in control of and what you aren't in control
Definitely,
of. Yeah. We are talking about this idea of letting go. We are inspired by the very popular catchphrase that Mel Robbins has popularized by her book and podcast, Just Let Them. You know, I'm sure friends have talked to you about this. Maybe you're reading the book. We just wanted to jump onto Life Matters today and I guess put a bit more evidence base around it and have a conversation about where it works and where it doesn't. You know, we live in very polarized times, Jacqueline, and lots of people have strong opinions and ideologies that we might not agree with. When it comes to that kind of just letting people, you know, some ideas can be quite harmful. What's the line between engaging in a conversation and trying to control them, change their thinking and why they think that versus letting them think that?
That's a tricky one. And I think we've all got different levels of tolerance there in terms of when we might step in and try to control the conversation. But it's an illusion anyway that we can control what others think. We can try to control that conversation, but we can't. We're not in charge of what other people believe or feel and the stories behind why they believe and feel those things. It's not a very satisfying answer, but I think it varies across individuals as to when they would want to step in. But I think there are certain matters for all of us where we just would step in and we would actually try to start controlling what the other person thinks because, you know, what they're saying might feel harmful or hurtful or discriminatory.
Let's talk a little bit about relationships, how this might apply to romantic relationships. Is this a good barometer to use when dating?
Yes, I think it's a it's obviously not, you need some more flesh to flesh it out, sorry. But I think it could be a good starting point when dating to have that in the back of your mind, to just let the person kind of unfold in front of your eyes and let them be who they are, and rather than trying to kind of push them in a particular direction.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes in the dating world, we hear like, oh, someone so-and-so is like, they're a project that you could make over. And I wonder if you can speak to a little bit about how that works, and maybe why just let them might help, like how you could apply just let them to people who think that, you know, a relationship is like kind of a renovation project.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think people just naturally do that. They want people to reflect their own inner world. They want people to be like them because it's comfortable when we're surrounded by people who kind of remind us of ourselves, particularly with dating. And I think in Mel's book, she talks about how over time, when you're dating someone for a long time or in a marriage, you can potentially start to become like that person. I think it's kind of futile in a way. You can make someone a project and try to make them over and turn them in, you know, turn it into a bit of a renovation project. But at the end of the day, people will be who they are, and you can kind of block that out and ignore what it is that you don't like about the person or what it is that's hard about being with them. But it will keep reappearing because people generally don't change much. Obviously, personality and who people are can change a little bit, or psychologists wouldn't have a job, but there's limits to that.
Let's go to Fiona in Nipaluna, Hobart. Welcome to Life Matters, Fiona. Tell me about your experience of, I think it's bike riding and just letting them. I want to hear more. I'm intrigued.
Good morning, ladies. Yes, well, I have two situations. I don't know Mel, this lady. I don't espouse to that sort of general stuff on social media, but I have a funny situation and a more serious family situation where I use more letting go let them when I ride a bike every day, because riding a bike is quite treacherous. And I just build up a narrative as I'm riding. I go, oh, okay. So they not only want to try to door me, they're now changing lanes and they're going to turn the corner without indicating and to try to kill me. And then the day just goes on, and I get home and I just have a little prayer. I'm still alive and think of all the situations I've been through and make a bit of a comedy out of it. So that's how I cope with bike riding. And but I have a more serious situation with family. So I've got three adult daughters. We've all been through trauma 30 years ago. And I've got a lot of trauma behaviour that I have to cope with. They cut me off when they're going through stuff, and they accuse me of things. And so what I do, I don't fight it. I don't argue. I don't even know why most of the time. So I let it go, and I let them go, and I just let them go with a lot of love. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And I just wait, and I just let them go through their stuff, and then normally they return to me. It might take years. It's taken 5 years with my daughter with borderline personality disorder, but she just cut me off again after I had major surgery and my mum died last year. And I don't know why, but I don't know if she'll come back. I have to, you know, have that realisation that they might never come back, but two of them are back. You know, it's like a tennis match in our family. Oh, well, that one's talking to me, that one's not. But I just let go and let them deal with what they need to deal with. Yeah.
And Jacqueline, I'd like to bring you in here as well, because I mean, what Fiona is doing, letting them go, do their own thing, yes. But on the other hand, Fiona, I'm sure you've got an emotional response to that. Mm. You've got feelings about that. And I wonder, Jacqueline, can you offer just some general advice about how to get through those times?
That's such a wise response, Fiona. And what I'm hearing you say. Sorry.
It's taken 30 years.
Yeah, but it's still, I imagine it's still, it's tricky when there would be a lot of feelings that come up even when you let them have that space. But I think what you're doing there is you're supporting them rather than swooping in and trying to solve whatever it is that's happening, because it sounds like that hasn't actually worked well in the past. And so you've sort of thought, oh, what can I do differently here? And you're there when they're ready to reconnect, but you're not sort of micromanaging whatever it is that's going on their end. I think that's such a beautiful example of how this theory could potentially be used in really delicate and sensitive situations.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for that lovely support. It's not easy. It hurts. It still hurts as much as it did 30 years ago. And in fact, my granddaughter now does this to me as well. So she's been trained up by her mum. Yeah, it's really, 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 but if you can hold that space and just hold that love and remember you do love your kids. I love her intensely, but, you know, you've just got to let her do her thing. And and maybe I'll never see her again. I don't know. I don't know. I have no control over any of that.
Fiona, thank you so much. We're going to move on to another call, but that what really so much to think about there. Let's go on to Edgar in Jervis Bay. Welcome to Life Matters, Edgar. What do you want to say about not obsessing or letting go or stepping back from situations?
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. I wasn't familiar with this social media phenomenon, but it really resonated for me around, I guess, my relationship with my son. You know, he's now 13, and I've been really, I'm quite involved at home. You know, I sort of work from home and stay at home. And so controlling behaviours, I suppose, you know, and the thing that I realised, I guess, the just let them concept for me is a tool for acceptance, you know, accepting someone for those kind of behaviours, I suppose, that they're exhibiting.
Mm. That's really helpful, Edgar. And so it is, you know, the idea of kind of letting them in parenting can be a tough one because as a parent, Jacqueline, obviously we are there to set boundaries and limitations. So it is a balancing act, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I think one of the things that can happen when we let them with kids is a bit of their personality might be revealed to us in terms of what they choose to do. So just accepting that they are going to put on the, ballerina dress when you really want them to wear these leggings and this top, you know, you learn something about your kids when you let them.
Yeah, that's a great point. Got a question here on the text line I'd like to throw at you, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. The texter says, let them has helpful principles, but I wonder how it applies to handling disrespectful behavior. For example, being in an in-person group conversation in which one person starts gossiping about a mutual friend who was not present. Toxic and unfair commentary can affect everyone's view of the third party. Advice?
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right. I think this is kind of one of the limitations of the theory, but the theory does sort of... And maybe I'll just speak rather than sort of
don't have to relate it back to the theory. Talk about it, as a psychologist, yes.
We definitely need to think about setting boundaries, speaking up, communicating when we need to. That might involve potentially conflict as well in that situation. But it's not about being passive and sitting back and just letting those things unfold, particularly, as I say, when there's toxic behaviour. But it may also be letting them do that in that moment and then walking away and thinking about that. So for me, what resonates with this theory is it's an opportunity to slow down, to notice your reaction, to notice what it is that you want to do and pause before you actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, if the texter wanted some tools on how to address this kind of behaviour, what could they do?
Oh, that's so many different tools. I mean, assertive communication would be a big one, I think, and boundary setting.
Call it out. Would you suggest calling it out?
I'd really need more information. Yeah. I don't think it's always a great idea to call it out. I think it's tempting to say, yeah, call it out. But actually sometimes calling it out can do more harm than good in the moment. I think the best tool we have in those moments, the best overarching tool, is to slow down, pause, and notice what's happening before we react. And if you're not sure what to do, then don't do anything in that moment. Give yourself some space to think about it later on out of the heat of the moment, because very rarely do we come up with ideal solutions and tools when we're triggered, essentially, emotionally triggered.
Yeah, take some time out. That never hurt anybody. We have been talking about this viral kind of pop psychology catchphrase, just let them, which has been popularized by Mel Robbins, but Jacqueline is here to put her expert lens on that and talk us through when it's applicable and when it might not be. Terry is on the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria. Welcome, Terry. Tell me about, you've read the Mel Robbins book and found it useful. Tell me how you've applied it to your life.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for taking the call. Yeah, I got advised of the book some years ago, probably the best part of 18 months ago, as I call it. I'm a practicing dentist, and one of the things that you're continually confronted with in dentistry, let aside your personal life, is people wanting to have a crack, shall we say, in Australian vernacular, wanting to have a go or say something negative or derogatory about their previous practitioner, dentist, doctor, whatever, okay? And what I used to do is try to reason my way through it. After reading the book, I found it was much more practical and more survivable to just, as you say, let them carry on, let them say, look as though you are listening very, very carefully, but do not react. Right. Reaction time in everything we do as human beings, if we react too quickly in a job interview, in a practical interview, in a marriage contract, reaction just causes problems. And so for me, in the latter part of my professional life, I've just decided to let them. Yeah. And I just let people go on and on and on.
How has that helped you, Terry? How has it helped you?
Well, it's helped me because I don't get involved in this.
The drama.
Anger management. And you see, what I was doing is finding it was causing me to become depressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And depression amongst professional men and women is a big problem.
Well, it's good that it's been helpful to you. I guess, I mean, I'm not really sure where the instinct to kind of bag out your previous dentist to your current dentist comes from.
Who knows?
But I think it's a great example of how it can pull you out of the drama. You're saying, I don't want to be involved in that drama. I don't have the headspace or the energy for that. And so over time, you've noticed that it's actually quite peaceful just letting people say what they need to say and not getting involved.
I'm sure it helps also that dentists wear like a lot of face masks and glasses and everything, so we can't see their expressions. I wonder if Sophie in Sydney on Gadigal Land is going to be our last caller. Let's see. Sophie, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello there.
What have you let go of and how does it make you feel?
Oh, I let go with the help of a psychologist. I let go of with my sisters, my two sisters, which has been nearly all my life a very toxic and destructive relationship. And I'm in my early 60s, so it's taken me a long time. But over the last 10 years, I think I've been working on it and I'm so much happier. You know, it's just much better for my life. I'm cordial with them, you know, and I say hi and all of that, but I just don't get involved. And it's basically changed my life.
Was there a moment where you thought, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, there was a moment. I won't go into details, but there was a moment where there was a sort of major betrayal of, you know, of that relationship and trust. Yeah. So there was one moment about 5-6 years ago. Yeah.
And now what do you think that's kind of freed you up to do? Like, how do you feel as a result of this detaching?
Yeah, I just don't feel criticized all the time and blamed, and you know, like I'm starting to really feel a much stronger sort of sense of appreciation for myself, and you know, like I just like all the things that have been whittled down. I mean, you know, it's not that I'm a victim or anything. It's just that it was just a very unpleasant. You know, all I can remember from my home was, you know, sort of arguments and arguments and arguments. And that's not how I like to live. So I had to sort of find my own way of living in more or less peace.
Thank you so much, Sophie. You are our last caller. Glad that we got you in here. Now, Jacqueline Balsh, before we let you go, I wonder if you can just summarize, you know, just because people tune in and out, I want to make sure everybody hears this, you know, moments where it's useful to apply this theory and also moments where we should not just let them, so to speak.
I think it's very much up to each individual as to when they apply this theory, but I think it's not really applicable in situations where someone might be at risk of harm or we might be at risk of harm or things like discrimination or whatnot are happening. But in other areas, it can apply really broadly. And I think what we've learned from our callers today is it can apply from really small, you know, situations that might be annoying, like someone cutting in traffic, right up to situations where we're trying to develop better relationships with our family. Mm. But it needs to be used with some discernment. It's certainly It's like every theory, yeah. It has its downfalls.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you need further help, then you should probably consult a professional and see your GP first, all of that. Thanks to my guest, Dr. Jacqueline Balch, a clinical psychologist and director of Inner Melbourne Clinical Psychology.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.